I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Sensational! The Kickoff with Cathal Minogue and Sky Sports.
Watch every Premier League match this season with Sky Sports and Sports Extra.
Hello and welcome to The Kickoff. Hope you're having a good week. Colm Buigh from Off The Ball, my right-hand man. Are you having a good week?
I am, my left-hand stud. Boy?
I'll take boy. Stud.
Stud. I watched Jay Kelly on Netflix, George Clooney film.
Yeah, he's a stud.
And his dad called him Studley. And I haven't used the word stud in years. Years! But now, because I just watched a movie, it's back in my head.
It's not a good movie.
But I... did you see it?
Yeah. I kind of gave...
Do you know what's weird about this interaction? You never let on that you saw the movie until right now. I saw Jay Kelly. And you just sat there with a smile.
I wanted to see what you're going to say about the stud.
I saw it too. So he calls him Studley. And then I was like, that just came... That was the first thing in the files of words I could use. Said stud. I said, I'll go for it, right? But I don't mean it facetiously. Because you could fit that category. I see you don't know how to take that compliment.
No.
As an Irish person.
I don't know.
As a GAA player. You don't know. You're like, you're just, you're there like the corner forward just left you. I just try my best by and I get up in the morning and sure.
The corner forward has gone too far up the field for me now.
One foot after another. So, all right, stud, how are you?
It's just not a good movie. It's just nothing is happening for the whole thing. Nothing's happening.
I don't mind. Let us know.
Do you know what's more dramatic?
Oh, here we go.
You picking your Premier League 11.
Segue, Stott.
Come on.
Yes, son. All right, so up to this point, we have the goalkeepers, defence, midfield sorted. Forwards in our 4-3-3.
Do you want to give the rest of the team first?
Yeah, sure. Schmeichel in goal. Left back, Dennis Irwin. Centre halves, John Terry and Yapstam. Right back, Trent. Midfield, Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira and Steven Gerrard.
I have a question for you.
Yep.
Who's the odd one out of those?
In what sense? There's an answer to it.
I have an answer.
Oh,
one of those players is not. Has,
wait, there's only one Chelsea player.
No.
I don't. It's so hard to know in the context of what you're talking about.
It's embarrassing, like it's a quiz question. Is he?
What do you mean? Like, who's the odd one out?
Who's the odd one out? A list of names. Who's the odd one out? There must be a reason. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, go on.
Steven Gerrard is the odd one out.
Oh, he's never won the Premier League.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Very good point. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a good point. That was made to me by a very angry Manchester United fan.
Was it Dave Moore?
Yeah, it was.
Whenever you bring up someone says something to me, it's just Dave Moore.
It's just him. He's just such an opinionated.
That's how good he was, do you know? That's how good he was. Now, that caused consternation for some people that unnamed producer and Off The Ball said Frank Lampard should be in instead of Steven Gerrard. And then another person in Off The Ball was like, no. Steven Gerrard was far superior to Frank Lampard. And it's like being in 2006 all over again. Gerrard or Lampard. I had Gerrard all day.
Yeah, you're going to stick by that.
Speaking of 2006, the FA Cup final against West Ham, the way he won the game for them. The year before, Istanbul, AC Milan. You don't have to justify Steven Gerrard.
Well, but you are mentioning games that aren't in the Premier League. This isn't a Premier League 11. But anyway.
But it was when he was in the Premier League with Liverpool.
I know.
And I can mention any Premier League thing you want to me, like the winner against Manchester United in 2001. Against Aston Villa.
He's in the team, but I don't even know why we would argue. Now, I think this is hard. I was trying to pick my tree.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I'll do honourable mentions. So I have 2 categories of honourable mentions. Wingers / forwards first.
Sorry, can I just say to you as well?
Yeah.
We were also giving out about our formation.
Yeah.
But is it the formation making this easier for you or is it actually kind of making it harder for you now?
Well, it does put manners on it in that I'm very keen to make this team balanced and an actual team rather than 11 players clunked together. So for example, I don't have like 3 strikers, as in like centre forwards, out and out number 9s. Mm. I have like 2 wide forwards that do their best business where I've put them on one wing and on the other wing, and then my middle guy is an out and out striker.
Okay,
so it has helped in that way.
Right,
so you ready for my honourable mentions?
What?
Cristiano Ronaldo does not get into this team.
I love the way you put him first.
I wanted to, you got to get people in, like, got to get people invested in this.
Ronaldo isn't in this
team. There's a lot of content out there.
I know.
Yeah, so what's my criteria? Do you remember it?
Yeah, yeah, he has to have done his best playing days in the Premier League, whereas the argument there is Madrid was his best.
Exactly. Days. Now he's very close because he won his first Ballon d'Or while at Manchester United in 2008, and he had another year to go at the club in the Premier League. So he did win one of his Ballon d'Ors. But the truth is that when Ronaldo left United in the summer of 2009, there was no real genuine talk of him being possibly the greatest of all time. Whereas when he left Real Madrid 9 years later, people started talking about he could be the best ever. Do you know, in the tedious conversation of Ronaldo or Messi, when people went for Ronaldo, it's like, oh, I've never seen anything like him. So he became a complete freak of nature when he went to Madrid. At United, those last two seasons, incredible. Last three seasons, really, when he came back from the wink against England and Wayne Rooney, 2006 World Cup, the three seasons that United won the league and won the Champions League in the middle of it, sensational, particularly 07-08. I think he scored like 40-odd goals, and that was before he and Messi started driving up the numbers to ridiculous levels. Like Messi and Ronaldo destroyed football in terms of statistic dominance that most players afterwards paled into insignificance, save for two players that will actually be in this team. So Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't get in, but obviously the most honourable of honourable mentions. Gareth Bale. Gareth Bale, honourable mention. Now, his last season at Spurs, oh my God. All started really for Bale. Do you know Bale's history at Spurs? Like a left back, signed as a left back, right? And do you know what his first nickname at Spurs was? Gareth Fowl. Because they never won with him in the team. It was a ridiculously long time. It was like 18 months or something went by before Spurs won a game when Bale played. And he got so close to leaving the club, but for Benoit Assou-Ekotto. The old left back at Spurs, this guy was great, didn't really care about football. He used to show up in training with a Tesco bag with his boots in there and his snacks, and he went to the Africa Cup of Nations, which of course is about to start this weekend. And but for that happening, Bale was reportedly going to go on loan that January to a championship club. He's going to drop down a division, and because Benoit went to the AFCON, Bale had to stay.
Yeah,
and then eventually he went from left back up to the left wing. And the rest is history. But I don't think I've seen a player, maybe Ronaldo was the other one that has changed so much since the start of their career to the end of it. When Bale came through at Southampton, he was left back, but he was like a set piece specialist. His free kicks were amazing. But I don't remember him, Cahill, being that quick and strong. But if you think of Gareth Bale now, the first thing that comes into your head is the goal he scores in the Clásico against Barcelona.
When he's running along the wing.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Like, and you just don't see that often.
Leaves the pitch and comes back in.
Leaves the pitch
and
comes back in.
Yeah.
And then, but his quintessential performance for me, again, like you say there about Gerrard a while ago, it's actually not in the Premier League, the Champions League, but for Spurs against Inter at the San Siro in autumn 2010. So Rafa Benitez was the Inter manager. He had taken over from Jose Mourinho after Inter had won the Champions League. And Inter were 3-0 up at halftime in this group stage match. And I don't know what happened to Gareth Bale in the dressing room halftime in the San Siro that night 15 years ago. But his life changed afterwards. He comes back, scores a hat-trick in the second half. I think Inter win the game 4-3. But then in the return match at White Hart Lane, Bale doesn't score, but he's sensational. Like, it's sensational. And there's a Brazilian right-back called Maicon, played for Inter. And Bale just made mincemeat of him. And Maicon was a fullback of renown up until those two games, and Bale destroyed him. And then after that, he scored his beautiful technical volley away to Stoke for Spurs. But his last season, the 2012-13 campaign, just had a personal highlight reel that most players would take for their entire career and then some. He was just scoring screamer after screamer for Spurs, and went to Real Madrid that summer. But again, a bit like the Ronaldo thing, is that Bale went on to even further brilliance at Madrid. Like, the Real Madrid fans, if you ask them now what was Gareth Bale like, very mixed response.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was like... The way he finished. There was that flag where it was like Wales and golf were the bigger priority for him than Real Madrid. But at the same time, he comes on in the 2018 Champions League final against Liverpool and scores one of the greatest goals in European Cup history.
Yeah.
The bicycle kick from Marcelo's cross. And
the man with a lot of moments.
Moments, exactly. That's spot on.
Yeah,
that is spot on. He's the ultimate moments player. But because he won so much at Real Madrid, so many Champions Leagues, he doesn't get into this Premier League side, because he accomplished more after he left Spurs. But that last season at Spurs, amazing. And I'll rattle through the rest. Eden Hazard at Chelsea, and you know, he's actually a victim of the 4-3-3 that we're playing. Can't really find a space for him, so he doesn't get in. But I would say, do you remember I was talking about Yaya Toure last week?
Yeah,
I was like, for two seasons, the Premier League was a joke to Yaya Toure. And then the following two seasons, the same could be said for Hazard. Joke to him. Do you remember there was like a time against Arsenal at Stamford Bridge where he just ran half the pitch and players were just bouncing off him. Whenever Hazard wanted to, he could run the show single-handedly, just pick the ball up from midfield. Usually he's facing his own goal, turn around, just take on the whole team and pop it in top corner.
A lot of untapped potential coming near the end of his career. Like,
you know, you would say that, but then I'd say for some Chelsea fans, he's the best they ever saw. And then he also gets his move to Real Madrid. But unlike the two lads that we've mentioned already, it doesn't work out for him in Madrid at all, because he just didn't have the motivation, anywhere near the motivation, obviously, that Ronaldo, no one has the motivation that Ronaldo has. He didn't even have the level of desire that Bale has, which is probably questionable by the end of it. But he just didn't care that much. He just wanted to play ball. Like, Chelsea players that played with him now, when they're doing podcasts and the like in the media rounds, they talk about Hazard in joking terms. Like, you know, he didn't care who they played. He didn't care about formations and tactics. He was like, just give me the ball, we'll be grand.
Yeah.
He was just a laid back guy who just happened to be brilliant at football. So again, look, I loved Hazard for a couple of seasons. I thought he was amazing. So I wanted to put him in to the team, but I couldn't find a space for him. And hopefully that will become clear when I actually name the three that we're putting in. And who else do I have? Son Heung-min, brilliant at Spurs. Remember that goal against Burnley, runs half the pitch. He just didn't finish the season or his time at Spurs that well, particularly in Europa League final. But for a while, Son was amazing.
He's lucky to be in this.
No, he's an honourable mention. I think he was amazing.
An honourable mention.
Bukayo Saka for Arsenal. They've relied on him so often the last few years. They don't rely on him as much this season because they've sorted out their squad. But Saka was doing the job of a couple of men up front for many years. And I'd say if we do this again in 15 years' time, he might actually be further up the list. Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino come as a package. Unbelievable for Liverpool. Carlos Tevez, but again, Tevez kind of ruined his reputation with the way he left United to go to City and the way he left City as well. But on his day, an amazing footballer. And I have an honourable mention, just because you're talking about moments player, Matt Letizia just has a collection of some of the greatest goals you've ever seen in your life. But again, doesn't really fit into a 4-3-3. Wouldn't get into the team anyway.
No.
But like, where would you put Matt Letizia? But like, I just love watching his highlights of some of his great moments. So they're my honourable mentions for wingers forwards.
Funny old ending to Matt Letizia.
He has, yeah. But we can talk about the footballer, you know? Talk about the footballer.
Yeah.
Would I rattle through the strikers' honourable mentions before I do the team itself? All right.
Yeah.
You know what I'll do here? I have so many on this list, right? I'm going to name them all and stop me wherever you want, okay? Alan Shearer.
Whoa!
Okay. Top scorer in Premier League history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's number one I had.
Really? Yeah. So what? Like, so what?
First name.
So what? So what?
Well, no, that makes no sense. And you, if he had made a move to Manchester United and won more Premier Leagues, then you'd have him in.
Do you know what the most important word in that sentence you just said was?
If.
He didn't, right?
That's ridiculous.
He did not test himself at the best level. He should have played at a way higher level.
The guy never won the Premier League.
The guy barely played in Europe. Yeah, for Blackburn. Jamie Vardy won the league at Leicester. Cares, like, it was an amazing story. Like, oh, it was unbelievable when Blackburn won the league with Jack Walker's money, and they were brilliant, Blackburn, for a couple of years, and he was amazing with Chris Sutton up front. I have no doubt, like, don't get me wrong, Alan Shearer, amazing Premier League striker, still the all-time top scorer. Every time you see Alan Shearer in media, his caption is all-time Premier League top scorer.
Yeah.
260 odd goals, right? But he did most of that damage with Newcastle. They didn't win anything. They didn't compete for anything.
That's,
he was just comfortable.
He was still banging in the goals.
He was comfortable. Yeah, exactly. So he scores a hat-trick at 3 o'clock on a Saturday against Sheffield Wednesday. Big deal, Al. Test yourself. Go to United. Go to Arsenal. Play in the Champions League. Test yourself at the actual biggest level. See if you can win trophies, right? It's much easier banging in the goals at a team like that. There's no expectation that they're actually going to win the Premier League, right? They're not going to have as much respect for you. They're going to stand off you, but they're going to give you that little bit more space. If he plays for a top, top club, he'll find space way more limited. Obviously,
he's a Geordie lad.
Obviously, centre halves were like, this guy's very tough to play against.
Yeah.
Get tight to him, boys, and all that, right? But they're giving his teammates a bit more space than you would if he played for an actual title contending side. And people out there shouting, but they were in contention. They weren't really, right? 1996, they blew it. He wasn't there yet. He signed that summer after Kevin Keegan, right? After that, we would love it. Keegan signs him, and then shortly afterwards, Keegan goes, right? Under Bobby Robson was the closest they came. 2003-ish. They played United at St James's Park towards the tail end of that season. How did that game finish? 6-2 to United. Go away.
But your argument there to say that they weren't contending titles. But sure, you have Steven Gerrard, who never won a Premier League title.
They were contending titles. They were.
Any list of goals and top scorers in the Premier League, the fastest to get to 100 goals, obviously Haaland it is now. It was Shearer.
It was.
He held that for that long because it's a hard thing to do.
No, I'm putting...
And for the Gerrard
thing, right, Gerrard won absolutely everything at club level except for the Premier League. And they should have won the Premier League in 2009. And they blew it. And they should have won the league in 2014. He blew it. Yeah, he blew it, right? I think, right, with the Gerrard thing, I've never seen a player like Steven Gerrard. I have seen players like Alan Shearer. I have the utmost respect for the amount of goals he scored, but we're talking best of the best here, Kyle.
Yeah.
Best of the best, right?
We're talking goals and titles.
We're talking the utmost, right? I can't give away charity picks in this, right? I can't. Maybe when we do our second best Premier League 11 of all time, Big Al has a chance to be in this team.
A chance.
But I can't do it, right? I can't do it.
Go on.
Will I continue?
That's an awful shout.
Harry Kane?
Doesn't he have the second amount?
No.
No?
Harry Kane, what a player. But again, he's continuing his career at the moment in Germany with Bayern Munich. And if anything, his numbers are developing at an outrageous rate.
Yeah. Okay.
Harry Kane. Ruud van Nistelrooy?
Two England captains you've left out there.
Is that enough to get you into the Premier League?
It's just something I've noticed.
England captain? What have they won? Ruud van Nistelrooy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did he not play enough in the Premier League? Is that because he was brilliant when he was in the?
He
Premier
was brilliant.
League.
Yeah, one Premier League title only, from 2001 to 2006.
He was brilliant.
Fallow period at United. Yeah, he was excellent. That's why I definitely considered him.
Okay.
Keep going. Yeah, interrupt me whenever you want. Sergio Aguero, Robin van Persie, Luis Suarez, Fernando Torres, Robbie Fowler, Michael Owen, Andy Cole, Dwight York, Wayne Rooney.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dennis Bergkamp.
No, let's go with Rooney.
Yeah, sure.
Also in the three I picked.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was really, really close. I would say out of everyone on this honourable mention list, he was the closest. I would say he was fourth, if you get me. Who did I just leave out in the defence? Wasn't it Virgil? Or was it Rio? Rio. So he's the Rio of the forwards, for sure. Wayne Rooney. Okay. Do you know the only reason... The real make or break reason I'm leaving Rooney out, right, is the 4-3-3 again, because I need a centre forward, right? And Rooney was amazing up front. Like, think of the 2009-10 season. He scored like 34 goals as a striker. If you listen to him now, he didn't enjoy it. Didn't like playing centre forward. Wanted to get back in.
Wanted to be in the mix.
Field. Yeah. So I'm actually picking a fellow who loves being centre forward. So I left Rooney out. That's the only reason, really. Bergkamp. A lot of people, I would say, would shout for Bergkamp.
Yeah. Well, if Alan Shearer isn't getting in, I wouldn't have any talk of Bergkamp in there.
Eric Cantona.
Fair.
Ian Wright. Didier Drogba. Jamie Vardy. And Gianfranco Zola. They are my honourable mentions. Anything you want to pick up on there? Or do you want the
Confirmed? I want your three so we could maybe see where the argument goes to there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
where you've gone now.
My official three forwards in my all time Premier League 11 on the left of the three, Thierry Henry.
I had him picked.
On the right of the three, Mohamed Salah. And spearheading the attack is the record breaker himself, Erling Braut Haaland, who was the fastest to 100. Premier League goals in just 111 games. Who was the second fastest? Your boy, Big Al, scored 100 in 124 games.
How many seasons is Haaland played in the Premier League?
22 probably, because I think Man City won the treble in Haaland's first season.
So that 2022, yeah.
So he is a
3 years in the Premier League.
3.5 years Premier League, and he has all that. That's what with Haaland, it's kind of, I couldn't avoid it, you know. I was like, and again, so, you know, say what you want about all the millions and millions that City have, and it's all a bit cold in comparison to Newcastle and Blackburn, that I know you're thinking about with Alan Shearer. But very simply, Man City hadn't won the Champions League under Pep Guardiola, and then they signed Erling Haaland, and then Man City won the Champions League under Pep Guardiola.
Alan Shearer has done it for so many years in the Premier League, 260 goals. Siri.
Now your buddy wants to get involved.
Siri.
Hold me back.
Haaland, if he leaves next year, is he still going to be in contention to be in all time?
Are you not proving my point? Look how quickly Haaland's done it. You're talking about all the years and years that Shearer played in the Premier League, played his whole career in the Premier League. He's top scorer, right? But Haaland's only here a wet week. If he stays for the rest of his career in the Premier League, he'll contend with Alan Shearer. But he won't do that. He's probably going to leave in a couple of years. They'll do something. They'll try out Spain for a while. It's amazing. He's a freak of nature. And you know what the weird thing about Haaland is, right? He actually misses a lot of chances. Imagine he scored every chance he got. He'd already have Shearer's record. Should be scoring hat-tricks all the time. It's the guy's movement than his...
He's better fed than Shearer would have been. In terms of the players around him. And the ball and the quality of ball that he receives.
Yeah, but defences sit deeper against Man City than they would against Newcastle. So it's harder to create space. So he has to create space as well as the midfielder or defender passing to him. They're not just going to give it to him. They're all, obviously every single centre-half is very aware of this freak of nature up front. So they're trying everything, every which way to try and stop him. Nobody can stop him. He's unstoppable.
What do you want to say about Salah?
Yeah, Salah's obviously the problem with these lists, right, is people have awfully short-term memories, don't they? So at the moment, like, Salah ain't so hot in this conversation, right? But I will say about Salah, and you know, actually, I'm going to start with, funnily enough, a slight negative about the selection of him, is that he is, you mentioned the odd one out earlier, he's the one that's most susceptible to lose his place in this team. And the reason I say that is because when Mo Salah's having a bad game, he's horrid. He will cede possession like it's going out of fashion. His technique just goes awry. Looks like he hasn't really hit the ball before. He's useless when he's bad. A bit like when Wayne Rooney was useless when he was bad too. Rooney was the other one. He got real bad when he was bad. But Salah is atrocious when he's bad. But the good, it's incredible. If you're talking about sheer numbers here.
190 goals in the Premier League.
It's outrageous, right? He has 277 goal involvements. Speaking this week, when he comes on against Brighton, and who knows, Cahill, if that's going to be the last time Mo Salah plays for Liverpool, as he's gone to the Africa Cup of Nations now with Egypt. So he comes on Brighton early in that game because Joel Gomez gets injured. Massive ovation from the crowd, and he sets up the second goal directly from a corner. And then afterwards, they're dying to set him up. Hugo Ekitike, who's on a hat-trick, who's true on goal, it's easier for him to shoot, squares it to Salah. And Federico Chiesa does the same thing, and Salah misses both. But with that assist, that brought Salah's goal involvement for Liverpool up to 277, which is a Premier League record. So very timely for this list because I had actually chosen this team before that Brighton game. So to break down the 277 goal involvements, it's 188 goals and 89 assists, and that's in the Premier League only. That's obviously discounting cup competitions both domestically and in Europe. And he's just broken Wayne Rooney's record of goal involvements at a single club.
Okay.
So it's timely for Salah to get in. And that's why he's there. It's pure. It's actually quite a cold selection of two of my three top men. Well, I'll talk about the other in a second, Thierry Henry. But with Haaland and Salah, Kyle, it's just pure numbers. It's just a numbers game, right? But I will say that there's a joy to Salah when he's on form. Like, there was a couple of years ago. Well, we've seen it loads since he's been at the club in, what is it, like 8.5 years. Where he'll go through these spells where it's just, again, a bit of a joke to him, how easy it is. But, you know, there's a beautiful sight when Salah gets the ball on the right wing and it's all left foot. He's touching his left foot and he's zigging and zagging in and out of opposition defenders and he's flaking it into the top corner. And you know what he's going to do? It's nothing that you haven't seen before. But try and stop it is another thing. So Salah and Flo, amazing. Amazing.
Okay, I just want to say... Mm-hmm. The top three all-time goal scorers in the Premier League. Alan Shearer, Harry Kane, Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, good for them. But I can't put them all in the front three, can I? Because my criteria, remember, is this is a team game.
Just wanted to say that.
So Salah,
on top of my mind.
Where would you put Salah in your team? Right wing, that's where he's going. Where would you put Erling Haaland in your side? Centre forward. And where would you put Thierry Henry? Up front, but off the left.
Henry was the only one I had out of the three.
Yeah.
Out of the three I picked.
Who did you have?
Well, I had Rooney, Shearer and Henry.
So who's playing on the right?
I wasn't thinking too deeply into positions because this is a fantasy thing. So I had Rooney on the right.
But that's what I mean. I can't do that. Like, what if this becomes a reality? Fantasy. I can't put Rooney on the right. That's a total waste of Rooney. So
go on, talk to me about Henry.
Henry.
Yeah, unreal.
Yeah. I mean, like... That's kind of the one where you don't really have to talk about the numbers. You can if you want, but you don't have to. It's just like, I want to say 2003 to, when did he leave Arsenal? 2007, he went to Barcelona. But particularly 03 to 05, 06. Oh, Just glide past players. Just glide past them. Like, so, North London Derby against Spurs. Now, look, Spurs in 2003-04, when all these things were up, 2-3, they were no great shakes. Like, but he would just pick up the ball and, like, just have a little look around. Just go himself. Just run himself. What he did to Liverpool in 2004 when Jamie Carragher falls over trying to tackle him.
Oh, spins.
Yeah. That's... And there's another one in Anfield where Carragher's playing right back. It was must have been like 2001, around that time, when Carragher was right back when they had Ansho and Hoopy at centre half. And Henry just got the ball on the left and just flaked the ball past Carragher and ran onto it. Like, and it was just like full speed, Henry. And there's just something so beautiful about that. You don't actually see that often at the top level of the game. It's just pure direct pace to get past the man. And some of the goals, I remember one at Ellen Road where it's coming in, he just like side cushion volleys it. And like, there's a bit of style with Henry, because you know, his celebration like that, he's just,
yeah, you know, it's, a bit of pizzazz.
He's having himself, but it works. I know it's not the Premier League, but he scores a goal against Sparta Prague in the Czech Republic in the Champions League. It's a joke, like, just controls it over his head and outside the right foot. So he had technique in abundance. And the thing about Henry is they signed him from Juventus for like 10 million, which was a lot of money back then, turn of the century. And he was a bit of a flop at Juve, because they actually played him left wing, like they've been on the left hand side. But Arsene Wenger saw him, and Arsene Wenger was the one that said to Henry, "No, I think you're a centre forward, I think you're a goal scorer." Henry was like, "No, I'm not, I'm a winger." And Wenger was like, "No, I think you're a centre forward." So he'd play him up front, but Henry would go off the left, and the rest is history. Because he didn't start life with Arsenal that great, but he became great very, very quickly.
Was he bad at the start?
He wasn't bad, he was grand.
Not what he became.
Exactly. It was the same with Bergkamp at Arsenal. He didn't score in 8 games famously. But Henry, there was not a goal he scored against Leeds. It was like Friday night football. And it was just at a time where, like, I remember playing, and everybody would want to be Henry when you were playing. It was just the way, like, he created, there's a finish named after him. Do you know the way, like, Claude McAlady has a position? The Henry finish is, like, everyone knows what that is, right? Coming off the left with your right foot, and you curl it into the far corner. And you're telling the goalkeeper what you're doing. You're telling him, "I'm going to put it over there."
Yeah.
But you can't do anything about it.
Because it looks so obvious in some of those goals, even the way he's leaning back to hit it.
Yeah.
It does seem obvious, but it's just how good and how fast he's doing it.
And so, exactly. And he just, he was like a goal scoring machine, but he'd also create the goals for himself. So the only player in my lifetime that I've seen do that better is the Brazilian Ronaldo. That's the only guy I've seen do it with Barcelona and Inter. He's the phenomenon of a Shearer and Haaland, but he'll be able to do that. He'll be able to receive service from his teammates, but he can also do it all himself if he wants to. He can also just run the pitch. So like Hazard would do that every so often, but Henry would be able to combine the two of them. He was amazing.
You had to have him in.
He was a joke. Yeah, he was a joke. And it was just like, again, the beautiful thing about describing Henry is it's just that, like, he was a beautiful footballer. So I'm not really concerned about his numbers, even though they're staggering in their own right. But it's more his style to go with his substance. You know, like, you talk about a lot of players have one or the other, style or substance. They had both.
I'm not going to argue with you, Henry. It's just Alan Shearer one, is it? Just a bit. Anyway, this is your team, not mine. Name your team. It is picked. You've done it.
It's all
well
finished.
Done.
Thanks, Fight. So my all-time Premier League 11 in completion with a 4-3-3 system. In goal, Peter Schmeichel. Left back, Dennis Irwin. Centre halves, John Terry and Jaap Stam. Right back, Trent Alexander-Arnold. The midfield three, Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira and Steven Gerrard. And the front three, Mohamed Salah, Thierry Henry and Erling Haaland.
So you have 4 Manchester United, 3 Liverpool, 2 Arsenal, 1 Chelsea, 1 Man City.
Yeah. And then if you look at the representation of Premier League winners, all of them, plus Blackburn in 1995 and Leicester in 2016, they're not represented. But they are Premier League representation there. So the most represented club is the team that's won it the most, Manchester United. Liverpool have 2. Arsenal have 3. Chelsea have 4. No, 5. Chelsea could be actually a little hard done by, they only have 1. So, because Chelsea won it in 05, 06, 10, 15 and 17.
Your argument could have been Steven Gerrard out, Lampard in. That was one of the big ones.
Possibly,
there for Chelsea.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Well, you did it.
Yeah.
Let's put it out onto the internet and see how people feel.
Yeah, let's see it. I mean, I'd be amazed if there's even one person who agrees with it. That's the beauty of it, you know? I mean, yeah. It's funny. Imagine there was someone out there who had the exact same 11 and they picked it blind, not knowing, not being influenced at all. There might not be one, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, you didn't go all United anyway. That's my one worry.
People were very concerned after week two. Yeah. The first two selections were United. Only two more after that.
Yeah.
That was half of it.
Fair play to you. Let's see what the argument, what people say. Are people going to be happy? Is one person going to be happy? And that one person isn't related to you or some sort
they
of...
They won't care. The one thing I only want to have here is a good debate, like where people be like, okay, I see your point, but I would have gone for this.
Yeah.
That's what I love, right?
In fairness, you're able to back up your point. Like the sheer thing to me, you know.
Well, I enjoy that, right? But I want to make this point about football at the moment that's really annoying me, right? And it's appropriate to do it on this show because I don't know what people think about this. I'm getting very tired of talking about football with people at the moment, right? Because you're either spot on or you don't know what you're talking about. And maybe that's the Donald Trump world we live in, like, but it's one or the other. You're either with me or you're against me. And that's rubbish because there's pretty much nuance in everything you say. And there's fewer and fewer people you can have a good chat with about football because it's too parochial. Liverpool or United, whatever. Throw in whatever team you want. I miss it. Like, that's a dying breed of people that you can be like, geez, I don't know about that. I'm thinking of people in my life, right? And you might be the same, right? And your chosen favourite topic to talk about. And it was like, oh, there's a few people, all right, that there's actually two people I'm thinking of. One of them works in media, one of them works in football at a club. And one of those two guys supports Liverpool. We could chat all day. Chat all day long. Like, no, I see your point, but here's what I think.
You both feel like you're right at the end of it.
No, we see the other person's point of view.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There'll be no like you're right or you're wrong. We just chat about it. And I think that's dying out massively. I think pub talk has taken over broadcasting. You're either a clown or you're, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about. Yeah. Nonsense. Class. Oftentimes there's right and wrong in opinions, but people don't like that. You know, it's not easily clippable.
Yeah.
It's annoying me, man. Honestly, I think there's a reckoning coming. I think people are getting annoyed at it too.
So is your hopes for 2026 as we say goodbye to you on this, because you're not going to be here for the Christmas show.
Quiz, yeah.
And you're actually not going to be back until mid-January.
That's good though.
A bit of leave.
Rotation.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even know who I'll get now. I'll go scanning around the off the ball.
You'll be fine.
Headquarters.
Don't worry about that.
But your thought heading into 2026 is bring back good, fair debate.
Just enjoyable conversation.
Stop all this clickbait.
No one's even listening to the other person. They just want to say what they want to say.
Yeah.
That's all. They're just waiting to say their bit. They're not even listening to you. They're just picking up key words here and there because no one has any attention span anymore.
Well, look at you. I hope you're going to have a jollier Christmas than you're...
Never been happier. I'm the happiest person I know. That's why I'm saying all this stuff, right? I'm comfortable saying it.
Hey, have a lovely Christmas. Yeah, I'll talk to you in the new year. Enjoy your break.
Yeah,
all right?
You too.
And just stay off online and any of those
I'm happy.
Forums
I read. That's the thing, right? I'll read any comment.
Thanks a million. Have a lovely Christmas.
Yeah, happy Christmas.
Thanks. The Kickoff with Cathal Minogue.
It is time to enter the fan zone once more. This time, we're heading to Craven Cottage, Fulham Football Club. Sitting in front of me is Colin Ryan Byrne, who works in Marconi House. How are you?
How are you?
Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
I remember the day that I found out you were a Fulham fan. I was wearing my Ipswich jersey because I'm a passive Ipswich fan, I would say.
A tractor boy.
A tractor boy. Exactly. And you copped it and you said, oh, you'll never guess who I support. Fulham. So I always had you on a list. I said, whenever I want to talk about Fulham, you're going to be the man.
Yeah.
How does a fella from Ashtown start supporting Fulham?
This is a very strange story because a lot of kids, when they're grown up, they either support who their dad supports or their elder brother or, you know, it's someone in the family. Or I know, like, my nephew's a big Man City fan and he's a Man City fan because of Haaland and the buzz around them. But I started supporting Fulham because of Football Manager, the video game.
Yeah.
So back when I started playing that game, God, I must have been about 9 or 10, and Fulham were at like their lowest point. I mean, it was third division and it was like at the bottom of the third division.
Yeah.
I remember Ian Branford was the manager and it was just, you know, they were a very anonymous club at that stage, just not doing very well. And then in Football Manager, I took them all the way to the Champions League and won. Massive improvements to Craven Cottage along the way. But I just kind of started developing this. Like, I had never kind of taken another club. I'd never, like, my dad's a big Man United fan. My brothers are big Liverpool fans. I have an uncle that actually played for Liverpool back in the 70s.
What's his name?
Sonny Bradish. So, like, my brother went to Anfield and all that. My brother's a diehard Liverpool fan. So I kind of never, you know, I never took them as teams. And then I just kind of had this affinity for Fulham. And that's kind of, you know, I've always kept with it. I've always, like, even back then they were in the Tour Division, but I got to see them going through the ranks then. And they're the only club in English football history that have scored over 100 points in two seasons.
Really?
So yeah, I've got to see them, you know, go all the way from the Tour Division up to the Premiership and back down and up again and back down. So yeah, I mean, the last 20 odd years, it's been between the Championship and the Premiership. So yeah, I've been there through all of that.
Was it hard at the start to keep an eye on Fulham when they're so off Broadway and they're in the lower leagues?
We had teletext.
I was going to say, is it teletext on a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I also grew up with my dad watching those football results. You know, the guy who's like, you know, Brentford won. You know, that guy.
Yeah.
So I remember that so much as a kid growing up, just like my dad watching the scores. So, yeah, I always kept a lookout for Fulham. And if I missed it, my dad would tell me that, you know, what the score was.
Yeah.
So I suppose up until we got the internet, it was between teletext and that. So, yeah, it's just... I also found out as well, like, when I started talking about Fulham to my dad, he actually told me that his own father, my granddad, who I never met, he died before I was born, he used to go to London every year to work for the Walls Ice Cream Company, and his local team was Fulham. So he used to go to see Fulham and Craven Cottage.
No way.
Yeah, so...
Weird. There's definitely some sort of... higher power there, yeah, you know, there's some sort of influence.
It's really, like, my dad thought it was such a coincidence as well. Like, when I told him and he was like, you know, this is really weird because, you know, your granddad used to go to Craven Cottage.
So you didn't know that before?
Not at all. Had no idea.
Wow, okay. Yeah. It definitely feels like a coincidence that was meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
James Alexander Gordon was the guy who used to read the scores on BBC Radio.
Yeah.
That's the voice.
Yes.
It's iconic. Would you have known any Fulham fans in school or anything like that?
No, not at all. And I don't think I met a Fulham fan until I was like in my 20s, I'd say. Yeah, it's you don't come across. Actually, do you know what? There's a big Fulham fan. There's a lot of Fulham fans in America. They've kind of, you know, around the time that Chris Coleman was in charge, he brought in a few Americans. And
Clint Dempsey being a big
one. Yeah, Carlos Bocanegra, Brad Friedel was there. So
Brad Friedel, yeah.
There was a lot of Americans at that stage. So, and that was also the time where America came, you know, they were in the, was it the 2002 World Cup?
When I think of Fulham, I think of those early days, of my memory of early days, I say, that the likes of Clint Dempsey, Brad Friedel, Louis Saha.
Yeah, well, the Saha incident... we were actually fourth in the Premiership when Saha was sold to United. That was John Tagana who brought him in. And that was kind of one of the highest points, but I think there was financial problems there. So it meant they had to sell Saha.
Have you ever been to Craven Cottage?
I haven't. And you know what happens? Every time I go to London, there's an international game on. Or, like, because Australia and Ireland have played there as home games. I know Jamaica use it as well as their home game. So a few times I've gone over and hoping to catch a game. And it's crazy how many times I've gone over and it's like, oh no, Australia are playing here today. Or
Yeah, it doesn't suit.
Yeah, so yeah. I just haven't had a chance.
Yeah, I suppose if you're going over there during the summertime or whatever, you're not going to catch any. The capacity is like 25,000, but I was just looking up a bit of the history of the club and stuff, and they said that there was a record-breaking match in the 1930s, and the attendance to that of a stadium that has 20... The capacity is 29,589. but the record attendance was 49,000 for a game against Millwall in 1938.
Oh, well, Millwall would be one of the local...
Their big rivalries.
I think Millwall is probably reverse Fulham in terms of the type of person that supports.
Yeah, is it? Yeah. Is Fulham a bit more posh?
Yeah, Fulham is quite a posh place anyway. So, and I mean, Chelsea will be just down the road as well. Like, Chelsea basically broke off from Fulham to, I mean, that's where Chelsea came from. They started out with Fulham.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, it does. Craven Cottage seems like a kind of a nice place to go to a game as well.
And they're building a new Riverside stand as well. So they're going to have a lovely pier out onto the Thames, which will be nice.
I'd say it's hard to get a ticket.
Yeah, like, I mean, I have struggled to get a ticket, and the prices are...
Not cheap.
London prices.
Yeah, not cheap. What would your hopes be for when you see the start of a season and you're... Is it always survival mode, or do you kind of, you hope that, you know, you start getting Europe more consistently and getting a good cup run, or what?
I suppose it depends. Some years it is survival. I mean, years like this, you're expecting to be in the top half. That's what I was kind of looking at this year. I think, 14th at the moment.
14th as we speak, yeah.
We were 17th last week. So I suppose it's a case of getting into the top 10. Europe is probably beyond capacity at the moment in terms of budget as well, I suppose. As you know, when the Riverside stand comes in, it's probably something that will improve. We'll probably be able to make more money. We've got a good investor in Cahan. He owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, I suppose that's kind of, you know, I'd love a European run.
The only thing is about the league at the moment, you're 14th, only 20 points, but the league is so condensed at the moment.
Yeah.
It's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, you're only 3 points off Brighton, who are 10th, and 4 points off Everton at 9th. Like, anything could happen yet, but also it means you don't want to be dropping down the way either.
No, because you're going quickly then as well. You're going down quickly as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we need a few years of stability, I think, until the stand is open, until, you know, we just went through a period there a few years ago where it was up and down, and that's, I mean, it's all right, but I mean, there's a few clubs riding that wave as well at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah. This weekend, you are playing Monday night. You're playing Forest at home. Forest are currently 16th, 2 points behind you. Those kind of games, Monday night football as well, great thing is it's on the telly.
Yeah.
That's a good bonus, I suppose, for you as well when Fulham is on the telly, because it's a lot easier for Manchester United and Liverpool and Arsenal fans. They're nearly always on the box.
Yeah.
What would your hopes be for Forest? 3 points.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, Forest seem to be a team like us at the moment, aren't they? They're, you know, riding between 7th and 17th like we are.
They have their own issues. You know, there's a Forest fan in this building.
There is a Forest fan in this building.
Yeah.
You're from Nottingham.
Yeah, Callum Farmer. I had him on. He's actually been the only guest that I've had on twice, because there's so much to talk about with Forest. So you haven't found a Fulham fan in the building yet.
We'll have to find one. We'll have to.
Surely one. But I suppose you didn't know that I might have any bit of a liking for Ipswich until I'm going around with a jersey.
Exactly, yeah.
We need a jersey day in this building.
Yeah, I tried mine on the way in. It's I need to lose a few pounds before I put it on. And I have, you know what, I literally bought one at the start of the season. And I haven't put it on yet because it doesn't fit me.
Look, we're heading into Christmas now anyway, Colin. You can worry about that in the new year.
Say back to the gym in the new year. Yeah,
that's it. Just like everyone else. Thanks a million for coming on.
Jeez, no problem. Anytime.
I'm glad to have you on. And hopefully he'll get over to Craven Cottage. Maybe next season.
Yeah, no, I really want to, yeah.
Yeah, so if there's any Fulham fans listening and they have any access to tickets, or is there an Irish Fulham?
There is, actually. I lived in Waterford for a while and there was a fan club in Waterford.
Was there?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, my dad used to say that they held their annual meeting in the phone box. But
of course he'd say that.
Yeah.
Colin, thanks a million.
No worries, cheers. That kickoff
with Cathal Minogue. There he goes. Fulham fan Colin Ryan Byrne. Halfway through the season, halfway through this series of the kickoff, and we've almost talked to a fan from every Premier League team. We're missing Manchester City and Burnley. So if you're listening, you're a City fan or a Burnley fan, get in touch. kickoff@todayfm.com is the email address. Some of the games live on Sky Sports this weekend. Tottenham versus Liverpool is 5:30. Everton and Arsenal 8 p.m. and also Leeds and Crystal Palace, 8 p.m. kickoff. They're all on Saturday. Sunday, Super Sunday, it's Villa versus Manchester United, kickoff from 4:30. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll be back next week with a special Christmas quiz. So I'll have 3 special guests on, battling it out. See who is the smartest of the 3. I won't reveal who they are just yet, but it's going to be a bit of crack and it'll be Christmassy. And it might test your own football knowledge as well. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck.
Sensational! The Kickoff with Cathal Minogue and Sky Sports.
Watch every Premier League match this season with Sky Sports and Sports Extra.